Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. So today we have with us Ruchi Pinniger, the founder and CEO of Watch Her Prosper. Ruchi brings 20 years of experience in the Wall Street and corporate world to her Watch Her Prosper team. They have helped hundreds of business owners to identify their spiritual connection to wealth and learned beliefs about money and to view their prosperity in a new way. So we're going to have an incredible conversation. So welcome, Ruchi.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure it is to be here, Rachel, with you and all your listeners.
Yes, I'm excited because I know before we hit record, we were just chatting away. And I was like, oh, hold on. We got to put a pin in this because this is great content. So, Ruchi, I'd love for you to share with our listeners what got you into the works that you do and, you know, some of the backstory that led you to where you are today.
Yeah, amazing. Well, you mentioned about my Wall Street background. What I really remember is being on Wall Street and feeling really unfulfilled. Like, I knew that I was meant to do more. I knew that I was meant to make impact in the world. And like many women who are doing things in the world, they kind of feel like we don't know what's next. We know there's something, but we don't know what's next. And I was living that way for so long. And I remember the days that I loved going to work were the days that I got to do things around people. So being a mentor, being in a leadership program, you know, working with our women's network, all of those things are what really got me through. And ultimately, I left the corporate world and I hired a coach because I was totally lost and was that sort of that typical control freak that is recovering now. But I always wanted to know what was next. And my coach said, okay, Ruchi, calm down. See this time as a gift from the universe and really listen to what the messages are for you. And I took her advice and I did exactly that. And what I kept hearing were the voices of all of these amazing women who started businesses, were great at what they did and really loved it, but always were telling themselves and me the stories. I'm so bad at the numbers. I don't know how to do this. And that was really holding them back because without really good numbers, you really can't make informed decisions. And that was the learning. And one of those women was a really good friend of mine, and I started helping her. And within 3 months of helping her in her business, she started saying, I felt like I fell in love with my business again. She raised her rates. She now understood what was coming in and going out. She separated her business and personal finances. We got her on an accounting system. She just felt really empowered and excited. And she started telling lots of other amazing women about me. And I had a consult with one of them. And she shared all of her sort of financial woes and worries. And I said to her, I can totally help you with that. And she got tears in her eyes and said, I feel like an angel sent you. And that for me was my why. That was my aha moment. Wow, I get to do this work. I get to use my financial background. And I had always wanted to be a therapist, you know, when I was thinking about what to do in college. I didn't end up doing that, obviously. So now I get to be called a financial therapist. A lot of my clients call me that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because how many of us especially for women, and I'm seeing this more prominent, and maybe this is just kind of the space that I'm entering into, and I'm seeing more women say, like, I just don't know what to do with my finances. Like, it just feels like chaos when you think of numbers and the budget or the consolidation, like all this stuff. And especially as women in business, we have to know our numbers. That's important. But when we look at the whole big picture of our finances from our home to our business, and then even our own personal side of things. So I know this is what you do. And I would love for you to kind of unpack some of that stuff too, as we dive deeper into today's conversation. But I love how you took that leap and you started off on Wall Street and you really had no idea what you're doing with this until it took that, hey, I can help you with this. And that opened the door for all possibilities and opportunities.
That's exactly right. And you know, it's interesting, over the last 10 years of doing this work, I really started to see these interesting patterns. So yes, we could work with our clients in this beautiful judgment-free space where they built trust and they really felt like they had their partner in their numbers. And we could see the impact in the numbers. We could see the revenue growth. We could see the expenses being cut. We could see how when we aligned their personal goals and their business, they were able to really know what they needed to make in their business to live their most beautiful, prosperous life. But there was still something missing. And that is what prompted me to really start incorporating some other mindset and spirituality work in the work that we do. And if I even rewind, I can share this beautiful story of that I think will resonate for many people. Thinking back to me as a child, having immigrant parents who had to come to this country, reinvent themselves. We lost my dad very early. So it was really my brother, myself, and my mom. She raised us as a single mom. And, you know, so we had, I'd say, sort of like a good life in terms of like financially. We were kind of middle of the spectrum on the totem pole. But what I do remember is all of my like friends and classmates with their designer stuff. And I always equated those designer things to happiness and a perfect life, because I definitely did not have a perfect life. I was not like a super happy child. I didn't feel like I fit in. I felt like there was a lot. And for me and the, I'm an 80s girl, so those Jordache jeans, you know, when they were in fashion, you just wanted those Jordache jeans. We got to have them, you know, a couple of years later when they were out of fashion and on sale. And fast forward now to Wall Street, and I'm like, oh, I finally made it. You know, I'm successful. And now I got to buy my thing, the thing that for me was the Prada bag. And I bought the Prada bag, and here's what happened. First of all, I went into debt. Second of all, yeah, I had a little bit of satisfaction and excitement, but it was just a really fleeting feeling, and nothing changed. Nothing changed. My life was the same. I just now had this like beautiful fashion accessory to carry around. And so I realized at that point that it wasn't about the external. It wasn't about the stuff. And that's when I was like, ugh, there's something more to this. And I realized prosperity comes from within. So that's now the work. And through this work in the last 10 years, I've narrowed that down to three pillars of redefining prosperity.
I love what you're sharing here, because this really speaks to me and the experiences and probably the season that I'm in as well. I can relate to so much what you shared. And we grew up with a whole lot of nothing. So as soon as we got something, it felt like everything. And then as soon as that everything was like, oh, okay, as you said, it was a fleeting moment. And then you're back at it again. And it leaves you with this emptiness that there's this longing for more. I don't know if you can resonate with that, because now it's like, okay, you got the Prada bag, but it's like, what's next? Because then now the ladder keeps growing and you're up to the next rung and to the next rung. So you're constantly chasing after something, but what is that something? And that's what you put in perspective. It wasn't about the external. It was an internal void that you were seeking to fill and find.
That's exactly right. It was my own not knowing I was enough, right? I mean, that's really, everything kind of points back to that self-love and self-trust. So, you know, since then, I've obviously done a lot of beautiful work on myself. And it's a continued journey. I mean, two steps forward, one step back, three steps forward, two steps back. But the idea is that we're always progressing. And those pillars are really important. I'd love to share more about those, because I think they will resonate for a lot of your listeners who really feel like, you know, they have it all together. They have like that, the life that, you know, that checks the boxes, whatever it is for you. For some people, it's a family, children. For some people, it's a home. For some people, it's owning a business. But you have those external factors. But if you're feeling there's a void and you're feeling that there's something missing, then I think this will really resonate.
I think that this is the perfect place to be in, because this is where you find yourself in a transition. You take the left road or the right road. And I think that that's where you're kind of leading to, because when you talk about the redefining, we have to take the narrative that was already given to us. And we realize this isn't a one size fits all. And this isn't the script that I'm willing to follow. So I'd love for you to dive into if you're ready for the redefining, right? Kind of unpacked.
Yes.
Pillars. I know this is
amazing.
So
amazing. I know. So those pillars, well-being, spirituality, and healthy relationships with people and money. So even if you think about those as a Venn diagram with the three circles and that center point, when you're really truly embracing all of these areas, that's when you're really living your most prosperous life. So we'll dive in. So let's talk about well-being. So Well-being, I know traditional, just like prosperity, people think about money and financial success. Well-being, we tend to go to, you know, eat healthy, sleep well, and exercise. And those are all really important, really, really important. What I'm, though, asking you is to broaden that and really think about what are the things that bring you joy? What makes you so happy? So like for me, it's like I love being in my pajamas and sitting in bed and binge watching my favorite shows. It's such a treat. You know, and I love getting my monthly massages, taking great walks in nature. So really for you, think about what makes you so happy. What are the things you're not putting on that checklist, on that calendar, and you're not doing? And I want you to do them. And it can come in all budgets, all shapes and sizes. So plan for it and allow yourself to do that for yourself. Because I know we are in this sort of go, 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 do, do, do society. And we sort of value ourselves based on how busy we are. And I'm asking you to really create the space and really think about when you're saying yes to something, is it for the right reason? Is it something that really excites you and brings you joy? Or is it because it's FOMO and you just don't want to miss something? Like, and, you know, that's something to really consider.
You're making some really great points here, because when we talk about the health and well-being, and from my personal background and space, we talk specifically about the health and well-being from mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. And I love how you're bringing in that additional layer where it's like, but what does that look like? What feels healthy in alignment? What brings you joy? What brings you happiness? What brings you the pleasure in those most simple moments? And as Ruchi said, it's not about something extravagant. It's not going out to buy a Prada bag every time you feel that, okay, that's going to bring me happiness. Be as simple as just binging Netflix in your pajamas and knowing that you don't have to be anywhere, you don't have to answer to anything, and you don't have to go anywhere. And that's just a moment to celebrate you. And just like, how many of us give us that downtime? How many of us are actually putting that on our schedules? Because that just kind of tugged at me. I was like, oh, dang, she's speaking to me.
Yes. Girl, it's time. It's time. I can't. We're going to have to talk about
we're
going to add to your calendar.
Well,
oh my gosh, that's perfect. That's spoiling yourself. I say spoil yourself. Like we all, when you think about you're giving gifts to other people, you're always thinking, what are they going to love? Well, what are you going to love? Spoil yourself.
Man, this is really speaking to me, because my husband always says, don't you ever just chill? I'm like, I don't even know what chilling means. Like chilling means like I have a different version of that, or my downtime is different. But I always, you know how you live vicariously through people sometimes. I'm always like, I want to do nothing. I want to sit in bed. I want to watch shows. And so now you're making me really think, and maybe I should start putting that into my calendar, because if it doesn't get scheduled, it doesn't get done.
That's exactly right. We will overschedule. Well, we'll schedule something in it, because our mind isn't comfortable with the gap, right? Because it's, you know, you're used to just go, go, go. So, and really when you create that space for yourself, what you're doing is, you know, bringing in the spirituality, you're leaving space for more. And for me, going to that second pillar of spirituality, to me, this is just the recognition that there's something bigger than us at play here. So I talk about the universe. Some people talk about God, source. And if none of those resonate, even just think about your higher self. And, you know, I want people to think about the words and the thoughts that they have all day. They say that on average, there's like 60,000 thoughts a day, and most of them are negative. So what are you putting out in the universe, and what are you getting back? So if you're in sort of lack and scarcity all day, that's what's coming back to you. Whereas if you're thinking abundant thoughts, gratitude thoughts, then you're opening yourself up for more. And I actually love to share this tool that I came up with. It's the RIR method. So it's recognize, interrupt, reframe. So I want you to really start paying attention to your thoughts on a daily basis and recognize when you're having negative, disempowering thoughts. I want you to interrupt them, and I want you to reframe them with more prosperous, positive thoughts. And this can go in any area of your life. So a lot of us as busy entrepreneurs have so much going on and feel so much overwhelmed, and I'm included. So I sometimes have to do this for myself. If you're noticing like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed, there's never enough time, I want you to just pause. I want you to breathe and interrupt. And I want you to reframe it with, I don't know, there's always enough to do everything I want to do. I am time. And just stay in that. And I even noticed today I had a really packed schedule. And I was like, how am I going to do all this and show up for everyone how I need to? And I was just like, I am time. I am time. Universe is guiding me. I breathed. And then every single meeting, and I mean every single meeting today, ended early. Not because I needed it or pushed it to, but every single meeting. So stay in the energy of that and just attract what it is you want.
And jot down, I am time, dot, 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 because that's the continuation. And as I'm jotting this down, it's like, okay, I control the time. I am present and I am aware. And so when we say these things to keep us in this present moment, we realize now that time isn't escaping us, but yet we are lassoing it in and we're bottling it. We put it in a container. That's how I'm envisioning what you're sharing. So this is, again, speaking right on. The universe brought us together because this is speaking to me in timely fashion.
Amazing. That makes me so happy. I'm beaming. All right. So should we talk about the third pillar?
Yes, okay. Please. I've got notes, and those that are listening, I hope you go back and grab a pen and paper because Ruchi is just dropping it here. She's got a lot of nuggets here, especially for those women as our listeners. You know, we're go-getters. We are ambitious. We are purpose-driven. We have a lot of things on our plate, and we have places to be and things to do. And, you know, having that downtime, like I said, if it's not scheduled, and so this might serve as a reminder, not only for myself, but also those that are listening, is that we got to take care of us. Finding those pockets of joy and things that bring us excitement and light us up, and we want to do more, so we can start plugging more of those opportunities into our calendar to make that happen. So yes, please have at it. Our third redefining pillar. Let's have at it.
Amazing. Okay, healthy relationships with people and money. So I want you all to just step back, because you're in the muck of it right now, but I want you to step back and I want you to look at all the people you spend time with. And I want you to think about how you feel when you're spending time with them, or maybe after you get home from spending time with them. Are you feeling uplifted, or are you feeling like, oh, I don't need to do that again for a while? So just see the relationship and see if your relationship is based on complaining and gossiping or negativity, or if it's based on uplifting each other, rising each other up, growing together. And really think about that and really think about who you're spending your time with. They say that you are you are the sum of the average five people you spend your time with, right? So who are those people? Who are they? And just start to think about, when you are your best self, who are you with? Who are you spending your time with? And that's where I'm going to leave it, because I'm not going to tell you to let go of friendships and family. I want you to just pay attention and start to think about that. And know that when you're on your own growth journey and your own spiritual journey, that it's very common that you outgrow people if they're not coming up and moving up with you. And that's okay, because not everyone's meant to be in our lives forever. We do outgrow people and we do learn lessons from people. And they're, all of that is a gift in itself.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I found myself, as I was journeying on this growth path, that I was being met with a lot of those challenges, because those people that I thought were with me were coming with me, and I thought I was bringing them. And, you know, just life separates us, and there's no good way or bad way. So it has nothing to do with you. It's just, that's part of life, is that everyone grows at their own pace, and you have to be comfortable with it, comfortable and confident in knowing that you're on your trajectory, your path, and what's theirs is theirs. And you never know when the paths might align. So that's one of the challenges that I've heard from several of our women is, well, what do I do with, you know, relationships or people in my circle that have been friends forever? We've gone all the way back to like grade school, or family. And there becomes this allegiance or loyalty that they have to hang on to something, but it's no longer serving them. And I think that my advice would just be to keep that at a distance, where you don't have to cut everything off entirely, but you start to pull away while also protecting and giving yourself boundaries and preserving your own space, your own sanity, because you're in a place that's different than where you were when you met them. So what would you say to something like that?
I would say exactly what you said. What you said was perfectly said, because what I was saying, it's not that you have to cut people off, because, you know, we've all been on that end, on the other end of that, and that doesn't feel good. But you can just start to create a little bit of distance, create boundaries. And you, by the way, you can also acknowledge how much you love them and how you're noticing that the relationship, the friendship, is based off a lot of gossiping and complaining. And you really are working on yourself right now, and you really want to keep positive energy. So it would be really great if we can not talk about those things and maybe we can talk about some other things. How about that? That's just addressing the issue right there.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes we don't realize that we get stuck in these patterns. So that might be actually beneficial for the relationship because they might be, I had no idea, you know, because you get too adjacent and it just takes one person to recognize that. And instead of that person saying, okay, no more of this and you're done, you're just bringing that person up to speed and say, hey, this is what I've noticed. And it's just voicing it. You're not blaming. You're not calling anybody out. You're just expressing something that you were aware of now.
That's right. And think about the ripple effect of that, because that person, if you're doing it in a way that is delicate and really expressing yourself in a loving manner with a judgment-free perspective, you know, that person, it can be really, as you said, Rachel, really eye-opening for that person. And now they can pay attention and you can share the RIR method with them. Hey, look at that. And then think of the ripple effect of what that will do for their families and their loved ones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how we all grow together.
Great point. I love that. Yeah. So practicing the RIR method, recognize,
interrupt and reframe.
Frame.
Yeah.
I love it.
I want to talk about relationships with money too, now that we've been talking about people, and because it's all really important. I sort of say, you know, think about money as a person, right? So there's that. Now, thinking about relationships with people, I see it as sort of three things. One is like your money mindset. One is how does money, like the idea of money, make you feel in your body? And then one is really, what are your money habits? So in terms of your mindset, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about it, about that RIR method and the language we're using. So what is your mindset? What is your belief system around money? So thinking about how you grew up with money, because 95 to 97% of how we show up, how we be every day is based on our subconscious belief. So if you grew up in a household where, let's say your parents were fighting about money, you know, you're probably going to think, oh, money's bad. Like it's very common to have that. If you grew up in a household where there just wasn't enough and you were always like wondering where's the next thing coming from, there may be some constriction in your own abundance and your own spending right now. So there's lots of stories and beliefs that we hold and we carry. So being aware of those is so important. And again, going back to that RIR method, because that is what is raising the awareness of what we're thinking and what we're saying out loud. And then there's the, how does money feel in your body? Like what I say, when you think of money as a person and like money walks into the room, like what happens? The other day, someone said, oh, when I visualize that, I feel suspicious. And I was like, well, that's a good one. So the idea of money makes us feel different. Some people feel anxiety, fear, but then there's some people that are excited about it, you know, so just being aware of what that does in your body and then thinking about your money habits. So it's like, are you running away from having to deal with the numbers? Like if it's tax time and it's time to meet with your accountant, are you avoiding that and then end up not filing or going on extension? Or are you just embracing that you have a person to talk to about your numbers and you're excited to get through it? Are you paying your bills on time? Are you avoiding? Are you, you know, if for those of you that are business owners and entrepreneurs, like if you have invoices due from a client and they're not paying, are you addressing that? Or are you ignoring it? So really just paying attention to what are your money habits and creating more positive habits with looking at your money, working with someone if it's not your area of expertise, you know, find somebody who creates sort of like a judgment-free zone that you really feel safe with, that you really trust, maybe through a referral ideally, and really pay attention to those numbers.
Great points. Because as we talk about money, and I know that you brought up a couple of these points about the feeling of it, right? Because sometimes when we think of, let me preface this for women in business. When we talk about sales, marketing, and money, those seem to be like the taboo topics. Nobody's like, wants to talk about sales because that feels sleazy. Asking for money feels shameful. Or marketing in a way that feels authentic where you don't have to feel like you're desperate for money. And I'm just echoing some of the ladies' comments that we recently heard in our community. And I love that you're talking about this because it brings, again, awareness back to the money mindset, our money habits, but more importantly, what does it feel like in our body? And as Ruchi said, you know, is it fear? Is it anxiety? Suspicious? I've never heard of that one, but I like it because it keeps you on guard because it kind of goes back to the sales of okay, what are they trying to sell me? What's the catch? What do I got to do? And that feels like you're being violated in some way. So especially women, where we really trust or we value the safety and security. And if we're not in a place where we feel safe and secure, our guard is going to be way up. So how can we eliminate some of those fears or the beliefs around that?
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, you said a key thing. You said trust. Everything here starts with self-trust, self-love. If you don't trust yourself, how are you going to trust others? Just think about that, right? Like if you don't love yourself, are you capable of receiving love? Like you're only as capable of receiving love as much as you are loving yourself. So really being aware of it, but just also what I would say to you, like thinking about that the money piece and how it makes you feel, think about, yes, how does it make you feel now? And then think about what is the most prosperous version of yourself? How does that version of yourself want to feel around money? And then I want you to start really visualizing, what does it feel like? I've had people, like I've said that to people, and they've drawn a picture of themselves with money, with that prosperous self in mind. And you know, our mind doesn't know the difference between reality and imagination. So there's been, you know, lots of studies where they measure brain activity, where you're doing something. So they do it like with athletes, with musicians. And so there's, if you think about like a baseball player who's, you know, at home plate, he hits a home run and he's running the bases and he's feeling kind of the chill on his arms and the goosebumps and hearing the crowd roar as he runs the bases and gets to home plate and scores. And then they're doing the same, he's doing the same thing, but only visualizing. It's the same brain activity. So what I really invite you all to do is visualize and feel what it feels like to be prosperous, to have that beautiful relationship with money, to have everything it is you want to have in your life, and start to really feel what that's like.
I love that. It brings me back to something I heard early on in my journey is, wow, when it was talking about the manifestation and visualization, and one of the examples that was given was, close your eyes and imagine a lemon. What does it look like? What does it smell like? So you bite into a lemon and the zest, and it's sour and it's tart, and you start to pucker, and you could feel like, I forget what those little glands are that make you like all the saliva comes to your mouth, and you're like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? Because all you did was just envision, because everyone knows the sourness of a lemon, but you didn't have to actually have a lemon and bite into it to experience it. So just that simple analogy really hits home with, you know, pairing it with what Ruchi just said about the baseball player, the visualization to the feeling on his arms as he's running to the bases. What does that feel like? And you're in this space, in a mind space, and then you come to reality. And you're like, wow, that was incredible. And then when they're in the real life to go experience that, it's like your brain has already said, we've already done this before. It's already equipped.
Exactly.
It's already completed that loop. So there is no filling in the blank. I love what you're pointing out, because you give such a visual and tangible takeaways here. Now, do you recommend or suggest any sort of visualization techniques or some sort of, I don't know, any other kind of tools that would help kind of get you into that mind space?
Yeah, I actually have two, if we have time. I have one, which is just like, I do this with clients and other amazing women that I speak to. And really, I call it belief work. So think about those, you remember those disempowering thoughts, and then what do you want them to be, right? Those, the new thoughts, the more empowered thoughts, if you sort of write them down, just like a few of them, don't pick more than three or four, right? Focus on a few things at once that you really, you know, if it's your relationship with money, like, I am abundant, there's always enough to pay my bills, something like that, right? Or we talked about, there's always enough time to do everything I want, I am time, like those types of things. And write them down, say them out loud, and then I want you to close your eyes and feel what it feels like to, you know, it with the abundance, what does it feel like to have everything you want to have in your life, you know, and with the time, like the spaciousness, what does that actually feel like? How flowy you are, how at ease you are. Start to work that way, because that just guides your visualization. Then the other thing is, I know some of us have a really hard time, like I did many years ago. What do I even want to do? right? Like, you don't even know. You're kind of in that place of like, what, and you need some guidance to get there. So what I ask you to do is create that space in your calendar, even if it's just an hour, grab a blanket, grab a candle, just get cozy in your PJs. And I want you to think about a year from now. Okay. I want you to think about, how do you want to be spending your days? What do you want to be doing every day? Who are you with? Where are you living? How are you feeling every day? Ask yourself those types of questions. And I want you to write them down. And I want you to then create a vision for yourself. So I typically do it in the form of a letter. And I shared with you all that I lost my mom really early. So I write a letter to my mom. I say, "Dear mom, you won't believe what a year it's been. You won't believe all that's happened." And then I kind of go into all the things that I want for myself in my vision as if it's happened. So then you're kind of getting it on paper, and you can do that in the form of a letter. You can do it as a news article, whatever feels good to you. And I want you to use that vision as your North Star as you're making decisions every day. So we talked about the well-being aspect of redefining prosperity, where you're sort of deciphering the yes and no. Do I want to be a part of this? Do I not? As you're making decisions for yourself, use that vision.
I love all this. That's such a great tip. And when you talked about with your mom, and I don't know, for some reason, I'm just brought back to this moment because my mother's health is not well. And I always think of, well, what if I could share with her the things that I'm excited about, the things I'm looking forward to, and I could start writing that as a love letter to myself, but to her as well. So she can be a part of this journey that I'm still on while she's still here. Yeah. That's beautiful. That gave me goosebumps. Wow.
That is what you shared is so beautiful. Thank you. I wish your mom well.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just what you're painting here is so tangible and so real, because sometimes the present moment and the realities of what's happening. And I think, well, I say this on a couple other episodes. When we talk about the past gives us, it's a lot of fear, right? So we're running away from the past. And our present is the only moment that we have that is guaranteed right here, like this breath, this moment, this everything, right? And then when we focus on the future, that creates this anxiety because this hasn't happened yet. And this angst says, but we got to get there. We got to get there. We're late. We're running out of time. And this internal clock feels like it's ticking, which exacerbates our drive, especially those that are just go-getting, ambitious, high achievers. We know what it's like because we know what we're capable of achieving. But yet when we can't achieve it here and now, there's this angst inside of us. So as you're sharing this and brings this kind of full circle to this present moment that we can still envision our future without any attachment to the outcome. That is
powerful. Yes. Connected to everything, attached to nothing. Connected to everything, attached to nothing. Right.
I love that.
And the time is just our ego. It's just our humanness. When you think about we're a spiritual being and everything's meant to be yours is yours. Everything that's meant to be yours is yours. You know, you're able to let go of the time frame. You're like, and let go of the.
I love that. And so when you talk, we talked, you know, some tips here about eliminating the fear around money and how we can bring this in full circle. Now, how can we as women feel financially confident in the direction that we're going, but also now that we're bringing awareness, kind of bringing everything full circle here, feel confident that, okay, we're reframing our thoughts. We're focusing on our three pillars of redefining what that looks like. We're casting a vision. We're creating something out of nothing. But here in this moment, we can tackle what we need to do and have that confidence to really trust and know that it will turn out, because we've already cast that vision. So we know.
That's exactly right. So this is where the money habits come into play. All of this beautiful work is so important. And what's also important is the data and the information, right? So anytime you're creating a vision, it's not just like, let me visualize it and it happens. There's got to be action that's aligned. And that's when the universe kind of is standing by you and lifting you, and it's all coming. And so you need to look at your numbers. You need to know what's going on. And so as an entrepreneur, 82% of businesses fail because of cash flow. So I want you all to know what your cash flow is. And that's not just looking at your, you know, your P&L, your expenses and your revenue. It's understanding what else goes into that. And so, and aligning those personal goals with your business goals for those that are business owners. And, you know, it can't all be done. It has to be done in conjunction, the practical, tactical, looking at the money, understanding what it is, knowing what your monthly average expenses are, which is like your burn rate, knowing what your typical revenue is, thinking about, are you charging enough, or is your, you know, belief patterns about not deserving money that you grew up with affecting how you're charging, things like that.
Exactly. So having, again, awareness, I think we've hammered on that word 1,000 times today, but all this comes compounding. So once you get one moment of awareness, then the next one's like, oh, there it was. And there was another one. And so now we're painting this picture. So you have this big light bulb moment, like it doesn't feel so scary. The money doesn't feel so heavy. And it doesn't feel so far-fetched. And it doesn't feel like it's out of reach and that you aren't able to prosper in your everyday life.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Boom. Such a great conversation. I'm digging this. I got so many pages of notes here. Because it, like I said, you're really speaking to me, which I feel is like speaking to our women that are coming up in this journey alongside us. And it's just, man, this has been an incredible conversation. So as we can wrap things up, is there anything that we haven't talked about that is burning on your heart and you're like, I got to share this?
You know, I just want you all to know that I want you to let go of any judgment, because it's so common to judge ourselves. And if you were to let go of that judgment, wouldn't life be so much easier? And wouldn't you be able to make so much more of an impact? Just the way you're not judging your friends and your loved ones when they're doing their thing. Don't judge yourself. And know that it's a journey. Like I said, you know, 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. But you're still making progress and you're still moving forward. And if you notice you're coming off track, like if you're committed to the well-being and adding those things in your calendar, and you notice that you stop, just restart and recommit. And that's all beautiful. And for those of you that are interested in going a little bit deeper in the Redefining Prosperity, you can download my free Redefining Prosperity workbook, and you can just go to iwanttoprosper.com and get it there.
Amazing. And so how can people find you and follow along with you on your journey?
Amazing. You can go to watchherprosper.com. You can check us out there. You can connect with me through the website, or you can go to Instagram, follow us, DM me, stay in touch. Let me know how it's going.
Well, amazing. So thank you so much, Ruchi. You have been just an over-deliverer of value here. This has been incredible. And of course, everything will be in the show notes below. So be sure to follow, connect, let Ruchi know that this episode resonates with you. And we're just going to watch you flourish and watch you prosper. This has just been incredible. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. What an honor to be here with you.
If today's conversation resonated with you and you are ready to step into your most confident, aligned, and free self, make sure to grab your free confidence blueprint. The first step to stop chasing, start aligning, and create a life and business you love. So, grab yourself a copy by clicking on the link in the show notes below.
Hey there, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.